Thank you, Brother Luke. As alluded to, this morning by way of exhortation, I'd like to think about the Passover, and I'd like to compare it to our breaking of bread, which we're about to partake of. We like to think our act here is the same as Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, and in many ways, of course, it is. We know he broke bread and drank wine, but he was, of course, remembering the Passover. He was remembering something very specific. So I think it's important to look at how the Jews celebrated Passover in Jesus' time and see what we can learn about our attitude to the breaking of bread here on a Sunday morning. What I intend to do is go through the account of the Passover in Exodus, see how that then evolved into the Passover that Jesus would have taken in, and then bring it around to our breaking of bread. So if it begins sounding like a Bible class, don't worry, we do get to the exhortation towards the end. Reference-wise, we'll start in Exodus, and then we'll look at the Gospels a bit of Corinthians. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 12 to find out what the key elements of the Passover were. I'm reading from the ESV this morning, but please follow in whichever version you prefer. So, Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbour shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. So the first instruction is to get a lamb, but then equally, if your neighbours, perhaps they live on their own and they can't afford to have a lamb to themselves, the idea is that you bring them into your home, you look after them, everybody has to be accounted for. Verse 6, and you shall keep it, the lamb, until the 14th day of this month. So that means that the lamb comes in on the 10th and is killed on the 14th. Now, bringing an animal into a house with children is never a good idea because it immediately becomes a pet. So already they are given this dilemma of saying, we're going to bring a lamb in, the children are going to love it, and you're going to kill it in 4 days' time. It seems harsh, but perhaps when we think about the parallel we'll come to, we can understand why it's there. Verse 8, they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. So they're told to roast it, eat it with bread and herbs, and to eat it all. Verse 11, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. So they're told they've got to eat it ready to leave. Which again is a very strange situation, which normally, or perhaps breakfast sometimes, you run out of the house with a piece of toast in your mouth, but actually eating a meal ready to leave. But that's what they're told they have to do. Verse 14, this shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as the feast of the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. So they're told that this will be a memorial. This will be a celebration. And finally, verse 26. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the house of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. So the children are immediately encouraged to ask, to find out, why do we do this? They're asked to remember. So if we were to sum up the themes of this festival, there's four of them really. There's preparation of the lamb and of themselves to leave. There's fellowship, because everybody had to be involved to be saved. Everybody had to be in a household if they were going to be saved from the angel of death. There was obedience. They had to do exactly what they did what God instructed here, otherwise they would die. And then there was remembrance. The children encouraged to ask questions. So preparation, fellowship, obedience, remembrance. They are the four themes that we see come out of this Exodus account of the Passover. Now, by the time of Jesus, the festival had evolved into a much bigger affair. Hundreds of years had passed since the original Passover, so it's unsurprising. It doesn't take any culture long over a period of time to turn something into a tradition and to take something that was quite clearly laid out, and then it built and it built and it built. And actually Passover is still building even to this day. So the information I'm about to share with you is based on an article I read about the Passover at the time of Jesus. And it's similar to how Jews celebrate Passover today. We can see elements of this service recorded in the Gospel accounts. We sort of have little snapshots of different bits of it. So what I'd like to do is, when I go through this, is we'll try and find out, well, that relates to that. To try and give us a clearer understanding of what actually happened that night in the upper room. So as in the days of Exodus, on the 10th of Nisan, a lamb would have been selected. Now, in that Passover week with Jesus, the 10th of Nisan was the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. Palm Sunday, if you want to call it that. So actually, already we have the symbolism of what's happening here, is Jesus entered Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. He was the lamb being taken in, ready to be slaughtered. So the actual Passover evening, it would begin with guests arriving and having their feet washed by the host. We know that happened in Jesus' time. We have that recorded in John chapter 13. Before the Passover, there'd have been a certain amount of drinking of non-ritual wine, and hand washing, reclining, and also the table would have been laid. When they were sitting around the Passover table, position was all important. The head of the table would be at one end, and the guests would wrap around it, often from the oldest down to the youngest, or from the most important down to the least important, should we say. So, head of the table, everybody else down the side. Which makes a complete mockery of Leonardo da Vinci's picture of the Last Supper, but never let the facts get in the way of a good picture. There are four ritual cups of wine, and as each one is taken, a section from Exodus chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 is read as a prayer. And within each section, there's a key verb, which is what's emphasised. So when the first cup is blessed, the prayer is, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. After this, the head of the household dips the bitter herbs, which traditionally were lettuce and celery, into salt water or vinegar. He dips them with the chief guest of honour, the one nearest to him, and then the bitter herbs are passed down the table. At this point, the table is cleared. This is where it all gets a little bit theatrical. Table is cleared. Young child or youngest person will then be at the far end of the table from the person in charge at the top and will ask the question, why are we doing this? And as we read earlier, this is a tradition that dates back to Exodus. The child says, why are we doing this? The food is then returned and the head of the table explains. Again, if we think about all the Passovers previous to Jesus's, they would have been explaining, this is the Abrahamic covenant, this is what it all means, this is what's going to happen. Jesus, on the other hand, could literally just sit there and go, it's me, it's fulfilled. The covenant is going to be fulfilled in me tonight. It would have been an amazing experience. But equally, we know that it went straight over the heads of the disciples. They did not understand. They did not understand what Jesus was talking about. really until the day of Pentecost, arguably. After that cup of wine, after that explanation, the Psalms 113 and 114 are all sung before the second cup is drunk, and the second prayer is, I will deliver you from bondage. Then the bread is broken and dipped, and then the meal is consumed. And it makes sense that this was the dipping that we read about in the Gospels, where Judas was highlighted as the traitor. So Matthew 26, verse 23. Then after the meal, the third cup is poured, and the remaining unleavened bread is broken, and the prayer is, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I suggest that this is the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine that we have recorded in Matthew 26:26, as it states, while they were eating. So the meal was or had been consumed. Again, in Luke 22, it says, in the same way after supper. They may even have broken bread twice. But think about the verse that was read from Exodus when this cup of wine was being taken. I will redeem you. It couldn't have been more apt for what Jesus was saying to his disciples. That's why it makes sense. It must have been this particular cup of wine. Then the final cup is drunk, and the final quotation read, then I will take you as my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Finally, Psalms 115 to 118 are sung. And again, we have records of that happening in Matthew 26, Mark 14, they say. Afterwards, they sung a psalm. Now, as with most things Jewish, this tradition has grown and developed even more. And Passover today includes eating gefilte fish, having a boiled egg for some reason. Brother went to a Passover feast recently, and a lamb, the bone from a lamb shank is introduced. Just a dry bone. As if they've given up on the actual lamb. A dry bone is introduced for some reason. And he says it was amazing because the irony of Ezekiel 37 was completely lost on them. The fact that suddenly they're introducing a dry bone into a Passover feast, into a Jewish tradition. But anyway, he said it's all developed. If you look at the Gospel accounts to the Exodus account, we do still see similarities, though, even though it's grown into a much bigger thing. Those four things, verse 8 of Luke 22, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. Preparation. Verse 15, he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Fellowship. Verse 19, do this in remembrance of me. Obedience, remembrance. All those four elements are still, we see clearly, in Jesus' Last Supper. So let's move on to think about what we're doing here this morning, our breaking of bread. The problem is that Passover is a Jewish tradition. So when the Gentiles began getting involved, it all got a bit messy, especially in Corinth. We probably emphasise Paul's notes on the breaking of bread more than the Gospel account of the Last Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, we read the words, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? As we've seen, a lot of food and drink is consumed in a Passover feast. And it looks like in Corinth, some were slightly overdoing it and attending for the wrong reasons. So Paul gives them instruction in verse 28 of this chapter. He says, let a person examine themselves then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Paul was trying to get the Corinthians back on the right track, but he was introducing something here which doesn't feature at all in the Passover feast: self-examination. The children of Israel were not told to reflect on their sinful nature during the Passover. At the time of Jesus, he never said to use this time for quiet reflection. It was a time of celebration, a time to remember what God had done for them. Now, arguably, Jesus did have a time of quiet reflection in Gethsemane, but that was not around the Passover table. We've got into the habit of breaking bread in the way that Paul instructed the Corinthians, an ecclesia, which, to use a modern academic analogy, was in special measures due to its unruly nature. There are a few other differences. The children of Israel were ready to leave. Jesus' disciples hired a room. None of them were settled in this world. They were not weighed down with bricks and mortar. Having a room like this is a blessing, but let's not get too comfortable here. It's only temporary. The Passover meal also took a whole evening. It wasn't done and dusted in an hour or less. Admittedly, they only did it once a year. We do it every week. But let's think about those four themes that run through the generations. They ate together and shared fellowship. In fact, they seem to put the equivalent of the shared lunch that we'll shortly enjoy right in the middle of the service. Don't worry, I'm not suggesting that you do that. But I would argue that fellowship is just as much a part of what we come here to do today than the breaking of bread. There was also a lot more audience participation. Children were encouraged to ask questions. Again, quite a contrast to our quiet reverence on a Sunday morning. The focus of the Passover was a celebration of what God had done for them. So this should be a celebration of what Jesus has done for us. This isn't a funeral. This is a wake. Now don't worry, I'm not suggesting that we turn Sunday mornings into a party. That was the mistake the Corinthians made. But we shouldn't come here just to quietly reflect on how bad we are. It's important that we do that. We've got the whole week to do that. There's plenty of time for quiet reflection. We just need to put it into our daily lives. We shouldn't save it all up for this moment here. We come here today because we are instructed to. Obedience. To share fellowship with our brothers and sisters. We are so blessed to have the company of our brothers and sisters. We come here to prepare. To prepare for the kingdom. And we come here to remember. To remember what God and what Jesus have done for us. I think the most important thing about our time here is that we should leave this place feeling better than when we arrived. And it's unfortunate that so often you hear it the other way around. Because the point of the Passover is to remind us that we have been saved by our Father in heaven and the actions of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take bread and let's take wine and celebrate on what has been done for us. Not because of anything that we have or haven't done, but because of the grace of our Heavenly Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.